Call it nearsighted wrongness. Let's see if I can say that again. Nearsighted wrongness. Amen. And I think you'll see it in my text here. I'm going to have to tell you the story because of time. I want to get you out before 2 p.m. if possible today. So I'm going to kind of tell you the story a little bit, and then we'll read a few verses out of chapter 20. Hezekiah was a good king. But in some ways, he was a weak king of Israel, and he's sick unto death. And we remember this part of the story pretty good, because God sent the prophet Isaiah to him and told him to get his house in order. You thought that was invented with your lawyer or your doctor, didn't you? No, it come out of the Bible. Told him he was going to die to set his house in order. And so you know what Hezekiah did? He did probably what you and I do. He started crying out to the Lord. He started praying. And Isaiah the prophet was leaving the palace, leaving the scene, and God caught him in the parking lot and said, "Go back. I've heard Hezekiah's prayers, and I'm going to give him 15 more years." Now, you won't find that in chapter 20, but you'll find it in chapter 38 as it tells the story again. 15 years. Not only that, but the part we best remember probably is that Hezekiah was like you and I, and he asked the prophet, "How do I know? Could you give me a sign that I'm actually going to be raised up and be back in the house of God?" And so Isaiah said, okay. And down in chapter 20, you'll find that verse 8, Hezekiah said unto Isaiah, "What shall be the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I shall go up into the house of the Lord the third day?" And Isaiah said, "This sign shalt thou have of the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing that he hath spoken. Shall the shadow go forward 10 degrees or go back 10 degrees?" Now, y'all understand what that was, don't you? That was the clock. That was the same as we got on the wall I don't want you to look at this morning. I wish I had the power that Isaiah had here to run that thing back. So he asked Hezekiah, "You want to go forward or you want to go to backward?" Verse 10. Hezekiah answered, "It is a light thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees. Nay, but let the shadow return backward 10 degrees. Well, if you keep reading, you'll find out that's what it did. Now, I've heard all kinds of stories about that. The first one I heard was a long time ago. I heard a preacher say that there was a professor by the name of Totten at Yale University that did a little research, and he found out that there was some missing time, and it took place right here under Hezekiah's day, and also the day when Joshua spoke to the sun and told it to stand still, and you put it all together, and that's the missing time that's still. And they say now NASA over here can go back with their computers and find that missing time. Now, I'm not saying that's the truth. I'm telling you that's what I heard. But I tell you what, I've got a God that can do that. I've got a God that can turn the world backwards or upside down if he wants to. Amen? And I have no doubts about that. I'm seeing here in the story, though, a political scene. And beginning in about verse 12 and going on down to maybe about verse 14, I find he had some visitors after he got well. They were ambassadors from another country, from a bad country, a country by the name of Babylon. And so what you have here is you have the king and you have the prophet Isaiah, and what you have is what we are told today is never to be mixed, and that's politics and religion. Separation of church and state. Well, the First Amendment was put in to keep the state from bothering the church. And they flipped that thing today to say that a church can't say anything political. So they infringe on our rights from every direction and then dare us to speak against it, is what it amounts to. But this is a political scene that I'm looking at right here. And while we want to get hung up on the sign, that's an interesting thing. The big thing is that this good king made a mistake. And he let these ambassadors come in. So I pick it up again when God speaks to the prophet, the preacher, if you please, and sends him back to the White House with the information. So I pick it up here in verse 14. "Then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, What said these men? these visitors, these ambassadors. And from whence came they unto thee? And Hezekiah said, they are come from a far country, even from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all the things that are in mine house have they seen. There is nothing among my treasure that I have not showed them. And Isaiah said unto Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried into Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. Then said Hezekiah unto Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord, which thou hast spoken. And he said, is it not good if peace and truth be in my days? Now I want you to see something. Here's the nearsightedness of Hezekiah. He said, it's good, gonna be peace in my days. But his short view, his short vision is sacrificing the long vision of the future. And that's the part that's wrong about it. Nearsighted wrongness. Now, I think about that. You know, there's a danger of nearsightedness. Here a number of years ago, I don't even know how many, 20 years ago, I guess, a little more than that, 25 years ago, I was sitting up here on the platform with my song leader, and a lady come through the door back there, and it was, I thought maybe she was coming in a little bit late because the song service was about to start. And I said to my song leader, Kevin Mann, I said, who is that visiting lady coming through the door? And he gave me a funny look. He said, are you kidding? I said, who do you think that is? He said, preacher, that's your wife. I had to admit I needed glasses. My nearsightedness, I could read the Bible, but I sure wasn't sure who that good looking lady was that come through the door. But and so I had to get them. And I wore them for 4 or 5 years. Most of you know the story. God did something special for me. I never had surgery. I do not wear contacts. I had the Lord fix them. I don't have time to tell. I wish I hadn't opened that up. But the truth was, sometime we need to see further off. Sometime the road signs get there a little quicker than you expected them to. And all that. And you know, when it comes to spiritual vision, Hezekiah was spiritually nearsighted. He made a terrible mistake here. And as I look at it in the story, I see to begin with, he had the wrong visitors. They came from an enemy country. They were bad. They were pagans. They had false gods. They didn't know the true and living God of Israel. And so here they come. And today I compare to America and I say, we're in the same boat making the same mistake that King Hezekiah made. We got the wrong ones coming from the wrong places with the wrong religion, and we're accommodating and kowtowing to them, and we're trying to buy them off, bribe them off, pretend they're good when they're not good. You see, what Hezekiah's problem was, he didn't recognize who the enemy was. And he thought, I'll be good to them and they'll be good to me. Hey, when you got a people that's motivated by a bad religion that'll chop your head off, you're dumb if you don't recognize they're the enemy. That's what it amounts to. I can't answer all the stupid stuff I read about and see on the news. And when I stop at the gas pump, it makes me mad. It may make an Arab smile, but it makes me mad, bless God. That's oil extortion is what it is. Do you know that we're paying? Let me just drop. I said this wouldn't be politically correct. We are paying Saudi Arabia right now, as of yesterday, $106 per barrel for oil. We only have to pay Canada $33. Why are we importing more from Saudi Arabia? Why are we doing this stupid thing? Why did we kill the Keystone Pipeline coming from Canada down? We're talking $33 a barrel against a dollar. You know the difference when you pull up to the pump? You'd be buying gas for about a dollar and a half. So what's going on? Why are we kowtowing to the enemy? Why are we letting them jerk us around like this? Why are we pretending they're good guys when they're bad guys? That's what's going on right now. Cozying up to them, compromising with them is what it amounts to. It is amazing. While they kill our boys over there, you saw where the soldiers supposedly made a mistake when they burned the garbage. Personally, I don't think they made a mistake. But anyway, they burned that stuff that come out of the libraries where they were writing notes back and forth to each other in the prisons with all the conspiracy and all the terror they were planning. And so some of those religious materials, including the Koran, got burned. And so what do? We apologize. We apologize. Oh, forgive us, my foot. Amazing. They kill our boys and they don't apologize. I'm sick of going over seeing somebody go around this nation apologizing for America. It's an amazing thing, but that's what we're seeing. I look at the story of Hezekiah, you see, this is over 2,500 years ago, the story I just read to you out of the Bible. But things hadn't changed much. The mistake he made, we're making again and again and again. I tell you what, they had the wrong visitors come, and they came for the wrong reason. What'd they come for? Well, they heard the king was sick. They're going to bring him some chocolates. No, no, no. No flowers and chocolates. No, they came to spy. They came to covet what was under the rule of Hezekiah. They came because they thought the king was not just sick, but weak. You want to bring the enemy in? Show weakness. And that's what we're doing in America. I mean, brother, the weaker we look, the more trouble we're going to have. And you ought to learn that in the first grade, the first time that bully picked on you. We hadn't learned it yet in the State Department. We hadn't learned it yet in the White House. But these folks came because the king was weak. And we've seen that in our history before. We've had some presidents that stood up like old Teddy Roosevelt and said, speak softly, but carry a big stick. Amen. You know why communism went under Reagan? Because that's exactly what he practiced. When he met with Gorbachev, when he met with him, you remember the summit meeting they had? You remember what? You know what Reagan told him with a smile on his face? He said, Mr. Gorbachev, you can't win. You can't beat us. And he said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear that wall down. You know what? The some of them on the cabinet of Reagan, when that speech was written, and Reagan had that in there, Mr. Gorbachev, tear that wall down. They crossed it out. And Reagan wrote it back in. And he said it, and it happened. Hey, you don't win with weakness. Not against the devil, not against the enemy, not against the anti-God crowd. You don't win with weakness. You win with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives you to stand up for what's right. And that's where we need to be today in America. Compare what's going on in Iran now, Syria and Egypt. Some dumb stuff I can't understand over there. Letting those folks blackmail us like they are in so many different ways. Syria is showing you how they kill their own people. It's an amazing thing as you look in the news today. And we actually replaced a better dictator. Some dictators are better than others. And we did replace a better one in Egypt for what we've got now with the Muslim Brotherhood. Crazy stuff going on, folks. Crazy stuff. But I look around today and I see this crowd came for the wrong reason. We got a crowd coming to America for the wrong reason. I'll tell you why they're coming. They're coming for the same reason that sharks swarm around somebody bleeding in the water. America's bleeding. They're sensing our blood everywhere we turn. Afghanistan killing our boys over there. Hey, do you understand that the doctor that helped our boys find Osama bin Laden, they've got him arrested now. You understand that? Whose side do we think they're on? Huh? I mean, some crazy stuff going on, folks. You see, what's happened though in America is we've lost a lot of our foundation we were built on. That's too bad. Lost our foundation at home, lost our freedoms. I think I can't get shocked again, and then I get shocked every week, almost every day. Did you see the other day in the news where the man realized somebody was breaking into his neighbor's house? They'd already got in, so he got his pistol. And he went outside and he waited for the guy to come out, and then he pointed the gun and he said, "All right, you stand still, the law's on the way, I've called him." But the guy advanced on him. So he fired the pistol in the ground. Let the guy know he could do it. And so the police got there. He held him after he fired the gun in the ground, but the policeman not only arrested the guy that broke in the house, he arrested the guy for firing the gun. Said you might have endangered somebody. He might have endangered a gopher in the ground. Crazy, folks. That's crazy. That's where we've come to in America. Did you see? How many of you folks know who I'm talking about when I say the Amish? You know who I'm talking about? Some of you live up there. How many of you, let me meddle here a little bit. How many of you have ever bought any food from the Amish? Look at the hands, amen. Did you see in the news the other day where they went to arrest this Amish man because he was selling milk that was not pasteurized? Well, I thought that's what folks wanted. I thought they wanted to get away from some of the chemicals. I thought they wanted to get back to something organic. How many of you in here started out drinking cow milk on the farm? Let me see your hand. Mine's up. Mine's up. It's amazing how we lived, isn't it? Without the government cleaning it up for us. Oh, I don't have time to meddle like I want to this morning, but had a government agent send me two letters this week and call on the telephone, and then they didn't like my sound, so they had another one call. And I said, what part of no don't you understand? I have read the law, and you're asking me to do something voluntarily, and I'm telling you I'm not going to volunteer. What part of no don't you understand? I'm still an American, so politely go jump in the lake. That's a good old Haines City term. There's lakes all around. I've used it ever since I was a kid around here. Amen. Hey, I was sick this week. I didn't get to preach Wednesday night, so I feel like cutting it loose. Amen. All right, bear with me. One story after another, though, did you see? See, now they're messing with the kids' food in the lunchroom. How many of you ever used to take a lunch to school in a brown bag? All right. And then Donald Duck buckets came out or whatever, but did you see where they confiscated the kids' lunch? Did you see that in the news? It wasn't wholesome. It was a banana and a turkey sandwich and a carton of apple juice. But they decided that wasn't wholesome, so they took the lunch and they made him eat a cafeteria lunch, which was fried chicken nuggets and fries. And they sent the bill home to the mother for, hey, I'm not making this up. You couldn't make up stuff as stupid as what's going on now. Nanny government, take care of us from the cradle to the grave. Oh. But you know what's going on? They're attacking Christianity. They're attacking the Bible. They're attacking common sense. They're trying to make the Catholic Church pay for abortions. And by the way, the Catholics are not the only ones that have hospitals. Some Baptists do and some others. But it's religious freedom. It's an attack on Christianity. That's what's going on. I wish I had time to give you some detail on that. It's amazing. The president promised in his Obamacare bill, healthcare bill, he promised that religious convictions would not be violated. And he even promised one of the Catholic bishops that was a little suspicious, and rightfully so, about it. And then he calls back the bishop and tells him, oh, by the way, I guess I lied to you, because you are going to have to pay for it. But I'm going to be gracious to you. I'm going to give you a year to figure out how. I like what the bishop said. He said he's going to give me a year to figure out how I can get by my conscience and my convictions. What a joke. Why, sad. Hey, it's still in the works. Thank God some churches and others are filing suits, and but I trust some of those judges up there on that. Well, I'm going to get off on that. Amen. American religious liberty is hurting. We have a Christian school here. Do you know that if this thing goes on just a few more months like it's going, they're going to tell us we got to hire gays for teachers? You understand that? Of course, there's going to be another civil war around here, but that's, they're going to try it. They're going to try it. Do you see where the newsman got fired the other day because they said he made a gay slur? I mean, they read between the lines and determined that he might be against them. Against that dirty abomination. The Bible calls it an abomination. That's what the Bible calls it. Unless you got a new version that took it out, brother, the old King James says it's an abomination. Calls it sodomy. If you got an NIV, it won't call it sodomy. They took it out because they had a sodomite on the board when they translated it. You don't believe me, do you? I'll give you her name, Virginia Mollenkott. And she bragged later, they knew I was a lesbian, and yet they let me sit on the board. So no wonder you can't find sodomite in the NIV. Some of y'all are getting a real shock this morning. You're having a hard time absorbing what you're receiving, and I'm enjoying putting it on you, bless God. Our country wouldn't be in the mess we're in right now if some of us had stood up a little earlier, amen. I understand the horse is out of the gate, but Dad used to make me shut the gate anyhow. Bring the horse back later if you could. The truth of the matter is, this bunch come for the wrong reason. Hezekiah was fooled. He was too weak. He let it happen. And he saw the wrong things. Look at it in verse 13. And Hezekiah hearkened unto them and showed them all the house of his precious things, the silver and the gold and the spices and the precious ornaments, and all the house weight of his armor. His latest tanks, bombs. You say, I don't see that in there. Well, you see it through my imagination. He had the latest armor. He was the king. He showed them the latest. They saw the wrong things. They saw his treasures. You know what's happened to America? We've shown off our treasures. We've shown off our armor. And we're reaping for that, folks. We're reaping for that. Our American lifestyle is envied all over the world. And rightfully so. It shows what free people can do. Free people that let the government stay over here and let us have the freedom to earn our way. The freedom to work. Government's main duty is to give protection that you can go out and start a business and earn a living. Amen. You say, but the rich people, that's class warfare. If the rich worked harder than me and got it, or if their daddy worked harder than my daddy or something and he got it and he left it to his, hey, it's still what belongs to them. They earned it. Do you know that if somebody will work, and there's a pile in this country now that won't, that expect somebody else to take care of them. I'm talking about healthy people. I'm not talking about sick people. I'm talking about people that could and won't. In America, still, even in what we call the recession now, you can still get a job. You can still work hard. You can still save. You can still ultimately make a house payment. And you can still ultimately make a car payment. And when you have those two things, you are head and shoulders of the rest of planet Earth. Yeah. Under the free system that God set up, what we call a democracy, and started off as a republic. And the truth of the matter is, God Almighty blessed us. But as we turn our back on him and go to the false gods of Babylon, he's going to pull those blessings away. Oh, We got nobody to blame but ourselves if we do that. And that's what's happened, folks. They came, they saw the wrong things. They were enticed. People today, if they take over America, your lifestyle will change. There won't be a middle class. You will find out, brother, they don't have good intentions toward us today. The old-fashioned way of being free to earn it is what's at stake. Now you see, Hezekiah, in his nearsightedness, he said, well, peace in my time. That's good. How about your grandkids' time? How about the future? See, that's what was wrong with it. What was his name? Wilt Chamberlain, back before World War II started, met in a summit meeting over in Europe, and he come back and announced in England, peace in our time. Adolf Hitler started World War II right on the heels of that statement. He went over in a weak way, and he brought the results that came. One of the most awful wars, and will be the most awful until the next one, the next big one. But the future, the results in the future were wrong. See, he sold out on the altar of temporary. He sold the future out on the altar of the temporary. That's what he did here. He made a mistake. God condemned it. God sent the prophet Isaiah. Hey, he had good news when he came and told him, I'm giving you 15 more years. But then he came back and said, you've made a terrible mistake. You've sold out to the enemy. And Hezekiah said, well, it's good we're going to have peace in my time. Folks, I'm going to make it. I'm so close to the jumping off place, I didn't see it. I'm going to make it. But how about my grandkids? Don't you care about your grandkids? Don't you care about them having an America like we've had? Don't you care about them walking into a church where a preacher can get up and he don't have any fear or favor of anybody and just tells it like it is? Don't you want that kind of future for your kids? That's what I want to preserve. Resulted in the wrong future here when Hezekiah made this mistake. His nearsightedness condemned him. Verse 16 and 17. God warned him, said, all your stuff's going to be carried away into Babylon. I tell you what else he said, talking about grandkids. Look down at verse 18. And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget. Now that's not only his immediate sons, but his grandsons. Shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. If you want to read where that happened, read the book of Daniel. Daniel was one of those kids. Daniel was made a eunuch, along with the three Hebrew boys. That's who he's talking about. Why? Because Babylon come in just like Isaiah said they would. And they robbed the vessels out of the temple. They took the treasures. They took the armor. And they took the Jews' captivity and kept them for 70 years in Babylon. That was the result of the nearsighted wrongness that Hezekiah brought here. Resulted in the wrong future. Sold out his children. You know, let me make some application to us this morning. Our actions today has a lot to do with how the future is going to be. Some of you parents listening to me right now, you're letting your kids follow Hollywood, follow the latest nudity on TV, pick up on that kind of language, and you say, well, I got peace right now. They're not bugging me. Uh-huh. How about the future? How about your grandkids? Do you understand what I'm saying to you? See, what Hezekiah done, we're still doing today. A lot of good church members, I believe Christians, I believe saved. I believe if they die, they're going to heaven. But they've sold out on this altar of temporary. Peace at any price. Mama, listen to me. When that 13-year-old that thinks she's going to be an old maid stomps her foot at you and hollers about where you're making her dress or the places you won't let her go, you just toughen up. You're not living for the now. You're living for what's going to be out right in the future. And I don't have time to jump on the fathers and sons because that would take another hour. Selling out the future because you're compromising in the present. That's what it amounts to. It'll result in the wrong future. Our actions will fix the future. You know, that's true with your soul. You know, if you come in here today, you heard the singing. You know what we were singing about? We were singing about how you'd be saved, how your sins can be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what some of you are saying? Well, I could get saved, I could become a Christian, but I'd have to quit this and I'd have to quit that. And so you see, you're compromising with it in the present. You'd only give up a little. You think freedom now. By the way, real freedom is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Amen. You want to get free of that habit? Come to Jesus. Amen. You want to get rid of that dope or that alcohol or that adultery or whatever it is that's got you captured? Jesus can set you free.
That's right. Yes, sir. Amen.
That's real freedom. What you think you're giving up is slavery. It's not freedom. It's slavery. The truth of the matter is, though, there's too many people hear the Lord loves them, that Jesus Christ, God's Son, came from heaven's glory, died on the cross for our sins, rose again for our justification, and that if we'll trust Him and let Him be our Savior, then we can go to heaven on grace, not on our works. Don't deserve it. But He paid for it. He paid for it all. You hear that? But you're so afraid you're going to have to give up something now. Afraid you're going to cost you something now. That's why a lot of folks don't get saved. You know what Jesus said? He spoke to that. If you were to look in Mark chapter 8, verse 36, you'd read where Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" He's saying anything you grab a hold of down here that costs you your soul is a bad deal. See, your soul is a future view. That's not a nearsighted view. You're looking far off. How is it going to be after I take my last breath? How is it going to be when I stand before God? If I gain the whole world and lose my own soul, it's a bad deal. It's a terrible thing. But how many today are grabbing for all the gusto they can right now? Give it to me now. And selling out eternity. Selling out a soul that could live with Jesus forever. Trading, if you please, heaven for hell in the long run. That's right. Selling out. Selling out cheap. Hezekiah had the short view. A lot of people today have the short view. This Bible is filled with verses that warn you about the short view compared to the long view. This Bible says, look not on the things that are seen, cars, homes, relationships, you know, money. Look not on the things that are seen, but on the things that are not seen. For the things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So that's short view, long view. Just now, or can you look a little further away? Because what you're doing right now is going to determine what that future view is going to be. Do you understand that, folks? Hezekiah took the short view, paid for it. Read the book of Daniel, read the judgment when it came, paid for it. The prophet warned him, told him what God said. He said, well, I'm glad it's going to be peace during my time. That was a short view. But his sons became eunuchs, enslaved by Babylon because he made such a terrible mistake. I love my country. You think, hey, preacher hates America. I hate what's happening in America. I hate America being sold down the river like it is. I love my country. I love the freedom I grew up with. And I like to see it for my grandkids. But there's a greater freedom than that, and that's the freedom of your soul to spend eternity with the Lord. The difference is, how do you look at it this morning? Do you understand you can't earn it? You can't join all the churches in the world and be saved? You can't get baptized 1,000 times and get saved? You've got to personally come to Jesus Christ and trust Him as Lord and Savior. Then that blood we've been singing about is applied in heaven to your sins and hides the wrath of God from falling on that sin. Amen. when I heard the good news that Jesus saves, and I began to understand he'd bought my salvation as a gift. He paid it all. He didn't just make the down payment and give me the payment book. He paid it all. And all I had to do was receive it by faith from him. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's death eternal too. Wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, listen, that's the victory. You know, I'd like to see America recover, but if it don't, if the enemy does come in, if we sell out every principle our forefathers ever died for, if the worst happens, long view, I'm okay. I'm going to live as long as God lives in a mansion that he's prepared. Amen. Because Jesus Christ loved me enough. Amen. To pay the ticket for me and give me the gift of eternal life. I remember when I received it very well. I say to somebody sometime, I say, are you saved? And they say, well, I don't know for sure. If I ask them, have you married? Oh, yeah. Well, you know that for sure? Yeah. Well, I know I'm saved just as sure as I know I'm married. Because there was a time in my life I received Jesus Christ. I said, I do to the Savior. And I've never been the same since. That's what you need this morning. If you don't have peace, Jesus will give it to you. If you don't have assurance that heaven's your home, Jesus will give it to you. I'm asking you right now at the end of this message, just leave the seat and come forward and take one of us preachers here by the hand and say, right now, on this day, today, I'm trusting Jesus Christ to save my soul, to pay for my sins. You say, it couldn't be that easy. That's why you haven't come. You're trying your way. You're trying the short view. You need to see the long view. And he'll save you if you let him. Let's bow our heads.